Husky 360 Podcast, Jaybird.
Steve!
Oh, mean warrior. Today's Tom Sawyer. What do you think, buddy?
He's a dive and rise machine, baby.
Dive and rise!
Dive and let rise!
So anyway, I'm hearing West by God.
Mountain Mama.
Oh my goodness, I've been up here creaking and tweaking, buddy. It might sound creaking? Different. Creaking! No more, Mr. Creaker. So anyway, from Bumsville to the mud, I'm creaking and tweaking. You know where Bumsville is?
No. Close to your ma's house?
Bumsville is about 2 hours.
Yeah. Is that a real place?
Yeah, Burnsville.
Burnsville.
What do you know about flat picking, son? So, anyway, I'm sorry, folks. I'm creaking and tweaking. I fished with the Bobo this week.
Did you?
Smacked some today.
Very cool.
So there's that. But the most important thing, whether you're a creaker, whether you're a tweaker, or a Pepsi drinker, guess what happens this week, J.S.E.?
Titan Jr.
Talk to me, B.
Two words, Titan Jr.
Keep talking.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's the big release. If you don't already know, Livingston Lures Titan Jr. finally comes out Friday morning before noon. Can't tell you exactly what time, but it's gonna be Friday morning. So sign up on the website, pick your colors, and you'll get an email notification as soon as it goes live.
So anyway, there's not a ton of them.
No, there's shipment. Not.
That's the way we do it, baby. This is how we do it. So get your hands on the Titan Junior, the early release. It has been ridiculous. I've been prototyping this thing since the beginning of the Titan J.
Yeah.
And it is devastating. It is like this death rise, slowed rise, just ridiculous kind of thing.
I'm in a downscale version. I mean, it's just a fantastic presentation. Can't wait to get my hands on a few.
Are you a creaker?
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to tweaker, though, where are you at?
I'm not a polished tweaker.
You should be. How many catalytic converters have you stole?
Is that what they do?
Yeah, I mean, hell, yeah, I mean, sorry. When in Rome, hell yes! Woo! Creaker! Tweaker! Sorry.
That was a nice one.
It was.
Live from West Virginia, Stephen Paul sings the hits.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a creaker. I'm a tweaker. Pepsi drinker. Sorry, folks. I digress. I'm very excited about it. It has been the brainchild for very, very long. Such a long, long time. Jay, I'll put this down. Sorry, I've been creaking and tweaking. But
yeah, when in Rome.
When in Rome, you know. Mm-hmm. When in Buchanan. So, you don't even know where that's at, son. But when you're doing the thing on the river with the thing. No. All right. Yeah. In all seriousness, this has been the goal since day one with the big Titan, because you go, okay, so we got an 8-inch bait. We definitely need that downsized version. Livingston mm-hmm. made it happen. I've never seen a downsized dive and rise bait that was worth crap. This thing rocks. It goes dive and rise, and it's small, and it's going to destroy fish from winter, spring, summer, fall. It's going to catch them all. I could sit here and go on, but you know what would be better than me talking about it and beating on this guitar, Jay?
What's that? Who?
Let's just talk to some pros. How about we talk to, who do you want to hear first? Steve Herbeck, Tim, Josh Krieger, Ricky Bobo, Brian, who do you want?
Kick it off with Herbie.
Herbie, here it goes.
Hey, Sonny. Do you and your podcast friends want some cookies?
Leave me alone, Mom. I'm trying to do the podcast.
All right, guys, there he is. The man, the myth, the legend, my friend, Steve Herbeck. Herbie, how's it hanging, my friend?
Pretty good. Been busy. Been up in Minnesota, seeing all my friends up here. And Muskie Show was good. Did some seminars at the big sports show also. Mm-hmm. And doing a seminar tomorrow night with one of the biggest, best Muskie clubs in the United States. I believe it was the very first one,
uh-huh,
you know, ever established, Twin Cities Muskies Inc. chapter, and it's loaded with unbelievable. While, you know, Northern Minnesota is blessed with unbelievable resources, but also incredible fishermen.
Absolutely,
they've just done so much for, you know, the sport and stockings and you know, promoting the sport and everything else. It's always just a blast to be there. That's Tuesday night at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Bloomington, Minnesota at 7 o'clock. Be there or be square.
Nice. Well, so this comes out, it's Monday. He's talking this Tuesday. Get, yep, there if you're there. And I know there's a lot of Minnesotans that listen. The old Minnesota Nice, Herbeck, they call it. So they're listening there. Anyway, the big announcement, I've already said it. This is recorded just before we did the podcast about the Titan Junior comes out Friday. And I'll tell you, and I'll put very few words in his mouth. But Herbeck, when the first Titan came out, you were just like, meh. And then you fell in love. So tell everybody, if you don't care, about your experience with the big Titan and then what your thoughts are for the small Titan, what's going on with that, how you used it on Eagle this year, what the other guides at Andy Myers were doing. Just lay it out. I'll shut up and you just sort of roll with it about the Titans.
Well, you know, I mean, let's face it. There's guys coming out with dives and dive and rises right and left every time you turn around. You know, obviously, you know, the long, you know, endeared Suic was, you know, the mainstay forever. And you know, there's been all kinds of fancy baits coming out and homegrown ones, and everybody's making a diving rise. So, you know, when the Titan first came out, I thought, well, you know, it's another diving rise. You know, it'll catch fish. You know, a diving rise will catch fish no matter what, you know. And right. And then when I first threw it in the water, you know, before I really started playing with the different options, I mean, let's face it, no weight in it. I was able to work it over the top of, you know, even milfoil and put the lighter weight in it. It got down into those 2 to 4 foot ranges, 5 foot ranges real good. And then with the weighted one, the heavy weight in it, you know, I could get it down there and suspend it down there 6 or 7 feet. And you know, it didn't look to me like, oh my God, it bobs 2 feet from right to left. And
right.
Speaks and looks like, you know, Shakira, you know.
It's right, just, right. It wasn't that sexy.
It just wasn't like that.
I didn't know he had a taste for the Spanish flavor for Shakira. We need let's compare notes at some time, not during the podcast, okay?
All right. So, you know, and I just thought, well, you know, I mean, I know it'll catch fish, but, you know, it didn't get me all that excited.
Right.
Until I started throwing it and finding out when it excelled. And you know, I don't use it a lot when the fish are really hot.
No.
When a bucktail bites that's been hot, all of a sudden that day, the next day, all of a sudden that bait pattern is, what the heck's going on? They were just screaming on us yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or post-frontal days, high blue skies after 3-4 days of great action, windy, darker weather, or sunny, windy weather, and the fish are really moving. That's when I found that bait, for some reason, shine. And
when nothing else will work.
Yeah, and it just seemed to shine. It saved the day for me. It also worked very well as a gentleman's bait.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that I put a 9 or a 10 on, or a kid or a woman, and after an hour, you can see they're struggling. You know, they're mm-hmm. starting to look at their phone or their watch, and they're holding their back. And, well, you know, along with the small and medium headhunter in the Livingston line, the Titan fits that same bill because it's very, very effortless. And I've had 10-year-old kids catch 2-3 fish in a day, working that like mad and not becoming fatigued. So, you know, with the weights in it, it is about effortless as a jerk bait as a dive and rise as you're going to get, mm-hmm. and still be able to get depth out of it without really working really hard at it. That's where it really shined for me. Kind of like the same thing, like another bait that works really good in those type of situations for me that I personally don't have a lot of success on until I see those situations is a swim bait, a paddle tail.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing when I see bucktails bites all of a sudden die during the day or the next following day after they've been hot. That's when, you know, like the swimming dogs and stuff really start shining for me. It's a very similar type of bait for me. But then again, you know, I'll probably find more things as I move forward, but mm-hmm. that's when I know confidently I can pick it up and have it catch fish, you know?
It's crazy. Cause like if you remember this past summer, me and Tim went out and filmed and, you know, he's up there with two guides. You know, it's not fair to Tim, right? You know, here's this guy that fishes for fun, and me and Herbeck are on the boat, and he's throwing blades, and we're behind him. We're throwing Titans and flippers and all this different stuff, and just he couldn't even find a fish, you know, because yeah. they just weren't on blades. But you know, we had a day, if I remember correctly, I want to say one of those funky, weird, it wasn't like post-frontal as much as just like rainy, nasty, just it's falling apart kind of days. And I want to say we had at least double digits up on Titan that day, right? And you're moving.
And again, as I was saying before, I'm up here in Minnesota around a lot of really good fishermen, right? Mm-hmm. I was at the Muskie Show. Jerkbaits are becoming very much more into the scene. The
they're in vogue, yeah.
Good, because people are hearing from other fishermen that they really work. So, you know, the Livingston line of jerkbait and the tight, I saw it a lot. I saw walking around booths, I saw a lot of people trying to emulate dive and rises and stuff that works very similar to the Headhunter and the Titan. So, I think, you know, and the durability factor of the Livingston line, the EBS, when, you know, you have the main thing with a dive and rise is you pause it. Mm-hmm. And that's when the EBS is at its best. So
absolutely.
Versus a crankbait, a jointed crankbait that you're cranking all the time, or most people do until you realize you need to pause it.
Yeah.
You know?
As most people fish them incorrectly, however.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it just leads right into the patented EBS doing what it can do at its best. So those two baits in the line, along with the Jerkmaster, mm-hmm. but which is also an excellent jerk bait, but that's more of a slash type of bait, I call it.
Right.
The Titan and the Headhunters are really doing the job. I, you know, had good luck with them last year, and I'm going to be using them even more myself, throwing mm-hmm. them behind people.
Which is interesting because, I mean, I think the only people on planet Earth that have any are me, you, and Randy Howe. Right.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to throw them at fish. I've only been able to throw them in a pool.
Right. It's hard water up there.
What I've seen, I really, you know, I like, you know, I just haven't been able to see how a fish reacts to them. But from looking at them, You know, it's shorter size. It has a little bit more, you know, noticeable shimmy to it. You know, and it and for the smaller bait for in the spring and early summer or small forage types of lakes, which usually small forage types of lakes have a lot of milfoil and that kind of thing. So, you know, you're working around relatively shallow, so, you know, 3 to 12 feet type of stuff. That bait's going to be absolutely, I think, a ticket, the key.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I can't wait to get in front of fish this spring.
Instead of in front of the pool.
River. Quite honestly, with you.
Well, and the cool thing is this, Herbie, is what I've been playing with on the prototypes, right? Because just a handful of people have thrown, like Josh Krieger up north, he threw some of the early prototypes in front of fish. Randy House throwing some at bass. There's some guys on Green Bay that are throwing them. And the trick with that bait is playing with that hook size, too, on the front hook to get that just you can play with the hook size and get it to just hang. Or slow fall. Yeah. That's what's devastating.
And that tip right there that you said, you know, that's a key tip with a lot of baits that people just don't realize or understand. That hook sizes or hook weights, you know, going from a 1X to a 4X, even in the same size. Because if you don't want to, some baits, you know, it's so critical where the hook hangers are as far as staying on hooks. Sometimes you can't go to a longer hook or a bigger hook and just going up and what exit is can make a huge, huge difference.
Hang time and create all kinds of things. Well, let me ask you this. So we're not sitting here just beating the brains on Titans. You know, you've got plenty of seasons under your belt. We're looking at pretty heavy snowfall up north. What's your thoughts on this season, early season there in Wisconsin? I know you're going to be guiding Wisconsin before you head to Canada. You know, what's sort of the thoughts there?
I'm done guessing.
You're done guessing.
I'm done guessing.
Folks, he'll tell it like it is.
It's going to be what it's going to be, and you adjust. Because about every time, I mean, a week ago, I thought spring was here.
Yeah.
And now we got 12 inches on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it changed just with a snap of the finger. Now, personally, I think it's going to be I think this was just, you know, it happens in March, right? It even happens,
when,
you
March,
know, it can be 70 degrees for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a cold night and the right rain, and all of a sudden you got snow in April. But I think my personal feeling is that we're going to have a somewhat of a normal type of spring. We had a later, colder type of spring. Looked like it was going to be kind of early, but then the cold weather hung on and on and on. And typically when that happens, it's followed by a more normal or maybe even a warmer than normal spring. So we'll just have to see. You know, that's up to God, man. You know,
you're the Punxsutawney Phil of muskie fishing, folks. He's crawled he's crawled out of his hole to make a pontification as to what's going on with the season.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. Well, anyway, Herbie, I'm betting you have very few dates open.
I have, let's see. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at it. Wasn't getting too worried yet, but because I haven't really pushed it real hard. But I got a couple days between the 8th and the 29th of May for Southwest Wisconsin. You know, the Wisconsin River, the Madison Chain, Lake Wisconsin, Redstone, stuff like that. And for Vilas, that's starting to tighten up pretty tight. I only got the 25th, 26th, 27th, 30th of June, and the 3rd to the 5th of July, 13th and 14th of November. In September, I got September 5th and the 9th to the 11th on Big Green, and November 24th to December 8th on Big Green. Other than that, my season's pretty much full. So, but you know, anybody's just interested, just got to call me. And I got a lot of guys that got several 3-4 dates during the season and real flexible and will move for me if somebody has to that wants to fish that can only make a certain date work. And you know, and things are changing here and there all the time. You never know. So just don't take it for granted that's all there is or that there isn't. Just, you know, give me a call or pop me a message, and I'll be right back with you. And, you know, if you ever just want to talk fishing and stuff like that, I mean, and that's just what I love to do. Absolutely. You know, nobody's really bothering me when, you know, I mean, I get into it, and it gets me back into a little different part of my mind and world. Absolutely. You know,
well, guys, let me say this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. I've fished with all the big names in the business, all of them. Fishing with Herbeck's about as fun as it gets. You're going to learn a ton. You're going to, I mean, just through osmosis, just by standing on the boat with Herbeck. And, it, you know, A, you got a mouth about like I do, by the way.
Well, that's kind of funny because, you know, I could be totally retired and just screwing around. But
no, you love doing it.
I don't know what else I would do.
What do you do?
I love it. It keeps me going, keeps me, you know, staying 55, even though I'm tickling 70. And I love messing with people all day and having fun, but I also love teaching people. I love people seeing growing from a green sprout into an oak tree that could be somebody else's teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, I just see so many people doing that over the course of time as I've fished with them, and it makes me feel really good and proud for them. I'll always fish hard. I'll always fish as long as you can, you know, really want to, usually. You know, and yeah. I try to make it as learning and productive a day as possible. And it's like I could count the days on my hand that I fished muskies by myself. I'm not wired that way. Uh-uh. I'm there to have people in the boat with me and have a great time and try and be as productive as possible.
You have the ultimate muskie fishing attitude. I love it. Guys, if you can't fish with Herbeck, he's going to be at the Muskie Shot Bash July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin. He's also slated to fight Russ Smitty Smith in a cage match. So what's your thoughts? What move are you going to put on Russ in the first round of the cage match, Steve?
I gotta keep that secret.
Okay, so... You know what's
but you got to remember. Uh-huh. I was a state class of junior Olympics wrestler. So
right. So
I'm gonna have a few things up my sleeve that might get
right.
That might get old Schmitty. But I don't know. He's an old backwoods character. I don't know.
Steve Herbeck's patented move, the vertical hold. He just has him. It's illegal in some states. He's got him in the vertical hold, folks. Anyway, Steve, thank you so much. Guys, as I said before, you hear it 30 times this episode. The Titan Junior is coming out. Herbeck, like I said, if you can't take it from me, take it from Steve Herbeck. That thing's going to put some fish in the net for you.
Yep, without a doubt.
Herbeck is the man, the myth, the legend. Talking Titans. He knows what he's talking about. He knows the probability and the possibility with that bait. That's what's so cool.
Keep me searching for a Titan of gold. And it's fishing gold.
Sorry. Oh, my God. I'm creaking, I'm tweaking, folks. Anyway, so Merk. You know any Lee Greenwood, Jay? So anyway, it's amazing. Herbeck being a fan of this bait has meant the world to me. It's so cool, beating you over the head, but I don't have to say it. I'm just laid back, Jay. How much more laid back am I? I've been told you
I don't know if it's possible. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's right up there.
I mean, you could be no mo muskie, no cry laid back. So anyway,
I'm pretty laid back right now, too.
You want to hear about Titans and Big Pike in Europe? Because Tim just got back from there.
Oh, he did.
Oh, here it rolls, baby.
Do your internet friends want some cheese cubes?
Shut the door! I'm trying to do the damn show! All right, guys, I've got him on the phone. My dear friend, Tim.
What's up, guys?
Can you hear me? Tim. What's your real name, Tim?
Tim Cliver.
Bull. No, it's not. Your first name's not Tim. Nobody from the Netherlands is named Tim. There are some who call me Tim. So, what are you doing, buddy?
Just got off work, man.
You just got back from a crazy trip to the Netherlands, and I think you had a secret weapon with you, didn't you?
Oh, yes. So, we had a nice little Titan with us.
How the Titan Junior, Tim. Tim got us the early batch here. Anyway, how'd it go with those big pike in Europe with the Titan Junior, buddy?
And this is pretty interesting because I always liked diving rights baits, man, but never really fished in them because I hated Suex always.
Mm-hmm. But then, this is why I left. I'm sorry, folks. This is why I left Tim. He's like, I hate Suex. Anyway, sorry. We don't hate Suex here, but Tim does. What?
Yeah, because I could never fish with them. So that's right. More, my fault than anything else. But those freaking new Titans, man, especially the small ones, man, they're freaking killer for pike, man. I don't know how many we caught, but we caught a freaking couple of, 10 kilo plus fish, couple of 15 kilo plus fish. Whoa. Man, it was freaking crazy. I think the biggest was 51 inches that my brother caught.
Oh, my God. That's a freaking giant. I've seen it pictured. Dude, last year they took the big Titan over. Where were you at on that big?
And very close to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And just a lake there. I mean, it's a man-made lake, and it's freaking huge.
Is it a reservoir?
No. It's part of a river system.
Uh-huh.
So this is kind of, it's man-made, but it's not a lake, not a river. It's just somewhere in between.
Did they dam the river?
Man, they dammed actually a piece of the ocean off.
They dammed the ocean.
And it's brackets. Water is kind of salty.
Uh-huh.
So that's the water we fished. But man, a huge spike in that lake, and we were fishing old weed beds and stuff, man. Uh-huh. The pike, man, were really digging those freaking Titans, man.
What's crazy is you say that. I was laughing because you said they dammed the oceans, and folks, is English is Tim's second language here. But no, I'm picking at you. Dear friend, folks. What will happen when you don't... And you told me this, and I had to look it up. You will actually find big northerns in brackish water over there, which is bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, so those... Tim, do they swim out... And I'm just asking. Do they swim out of the fjords?
You're joking about this shit, man. But if you go a little bit north of us, we got Scandinavia between Sweden and Finland.
Uh-huh.
And that's an inland sea.
It is.
Depending on how much freaking water comes out of the freaking, the melting water from the snow and shit, and those freaking pikes will eat herring, saltwater fish on the ocean, man. They'll just go... They'll go into that inland sea to freaking hunt and stuff. It's crazy.
So do they go out like into the brackish and then come back, or they actually just stay out there?
Oh no, they'll go into the brackish water to hunt and eat those freaking the saltwater fish.
That's I know it's real because look it up. It's bizarre, but yeah. I mean, northerns can handle some crap. Let me ask you this, right? How much of a concern is the wooden shoes in the boat? Does it make too much noise?
You don't have to. You don't have to bring your life jackets, man.
Because you can walk on water.
Exactly. This thing handy as hell.
I'm sorry, folks. I pick on Tim, but Tim's big enough he could kill me with one hand. Anyway, it's just a walk. You lose a bait, you just step out of the boat and walk out there in your wooden shoes.
Exactly.
So anyway, it's funny because And I'm sorry, I'm big as freaking your big ass and witches rolling. I told somebody, people are going to be like, why am I listening to this? I told somebody the other day about Ronald, right?
Uh-huh.
And yep. It took me 3 days to realize his name was Ronald.
I know. I told you multiple times.
Say Ronald, Tim.
Ronald.
I thought this guy's name was Ronald. His name's Ronald, like Ronald McDonald. Ronald. Sorry. It was amazing. Oh, we're a couple idiots, man. Oh, God. So, in all seriousness, though, you've talked about, like, And you and your brothers have seen it, like, with the pike, the big trophy quest pike in Europe. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people listening to the podcast that are from Europe. That's why I'll be in Europe this summer. Announcement coming
very
soon.
Very nice.
Very nice, yes. sorry. We should never be on the podcast together. I'm just laughing too much. So, you see, a lot of those big northerns will seem like they'll come up higher in the water column no matter what. Because, like, we talk about, and we've joked about, like, what is it, Midras mouse?
Yeah, the Mirius mouse.
Mirius mouse. Yep. Weird bait, right? Which is like a jerk bait, but that doesn't really run that deep.
No, I mean, you can put some lead on it, but if it runs thinking more than, I don't know, 6 feet, you're pretty deep.
Right, you're almost under them at that point. Where like, I know when you guys are fishing the Titan, you're pretty much fishing it unweighted the whole time, right?
Yep. Just unweighted, and just keep it high in the water column, because, man, if the pike want to bait, man, they'll come up, and you're better above them than underneath them until you figure out what I want.
Absolutely. You know, so it's phenomenal. We'll have some footage here shortly, Tim and his brothers and... In Dutch. Tim, tell me how awful the Titan is in Dutch. Make fun of the Titan in Dutch.
That's a clear ass. Kan er niks mee. Doe er geen kut mee. It's gewoon, niet goed. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did, actually. Sorry. Folks, Tim can't. If you've ever, Tim, we did the Wabagoon video together. I love fishing with you. When you see, you've been in a million Muskie Shop TV episodes because you crack me up, and I love Tim. But we went out, we chased 100 inches on Wabagoon together, Tim.
Yeah,
we've been out there. That was a whole different day, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
How many crazy, how many 100 inches did you see?
Well, exactly zero.
Is that me too? That's how many they were there. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I apologize for the entire segment. But no, they were there. Me and Tim will be filming again here very shortly. But he's got some stuff coming out. You guys will see some footage from the last couple years here of just pike smashing. And that's the cool thing, man. Your musky brain now, right? Tim's at Eagle Lake, or we go to Canada together. We fish a bunch together. But it's kind of cool, though, for these European listeners. Like, when you take muskies out of the equation, you can get some monster pike. And I just don't think people realize how big those pike are over there, dude.
No, man. They'll get 50-inch plus fish, man. They'll get big and heavy.
That's the thing. Is they're butter balls, though.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, they'll get fat.
Like... some of these waterways over there. Now, interesting thing, Tim, not to put you on the spot. You told me this. I know it's true. I remember looking it up. Of all things, when did they try to put muskies in the Netherlands?
Man, I'm not sure when it was, but I think in the early 90s they tried it, and it just didn't work.
They just all die or whatever?
Man, I think they survived for a little bit, but somehow... if you don't have a harsh winter for muskies, they don't like that, because in the Netherlands you don't have ice.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's something to do with that, because otherwise, pike and muskie can live in the same environment, but somehow those muskies did not want to do it over there.
Isn't that great? I mean, can you imagine? That would be awesome. I mean, I wish there was
yes.
If we were like, hey, let's go to the Netherlands and chase like 80 inchers, you know, it'd be amazing. Yeah. If they would have taken That's the thing. Is
but,
like,
but see, the problem is, I think, what Europeans don't realize is that muskie are so much harder to catch than freaking pike.
Tell, and granted, thing,
trophy fish are trophy fish, and they're hard to catch. But pike in general, they're just easier to catch. And I had to learn the hard way when I moved over here. Yeah. But really, man, you must forget everything you know about pike fishing when you start hunting muskies, because. And you learn the hard way if you don't. Look at my net, Steven. What happened last year?
Oh, no!
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, okay, so let me tell the story. If you've seen the famous Oh No clip, that's my dear friend Tim. And it is handedly Tim's biggest muskie. We worked our butts off for that fish, dude. We worked our... Like, I don't think I made that time frame. The wind was blowing so hard. I don't really believe I was able to get more than like 10 casts off an hour, right? I'm holding us.
Yeah.
The wind is howling. And we had the thing, the spot we're on, right? We can say the name of the spot because nobody will freaking know it.
Albert.
Albert, right. We're on Albert. Yeah, go find it. We're on Albert. There's one rock. There's this weed bed. It is, what, 150 yards of weeds, easy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a rock in the middle. Just one rock. And I'm nose in the wind, just getting the guts beat out of me in the front. Can't make a cast. We're backing into this. Tim has smoked, what, 6 or 7 big pike in the weeds.
Yep.
And we drift over that rock, and you make a cast, and I go, pike. And you go, that's the biggest pike I've ever hooked in the video. Because, like, I've watched it a bunch of times. I tell him it's a pike. What do you remember what you say? You say, that's no pike. That's the biggest pike I've ever hooked.
Yeah, something like that.
Just an absolute donkey. And poor Tim, we get it. I net the thing. It's in the net. You've held it up already.
Uh-huh.
It's been out. He gets the hook out. He puts it down. I go, okay, give me a second. I get the cameras ready. Because, unfortunately, when you're friends with me, guess what? Right? Everything's the cameras. Uh-huh. Right? We can't just take a picture. We have to roll footage. And the thing blows out his net. So, hey, we took it in stride, though.
Man, no. I'm still a little sad about that one. I'm gonna lie.
So then we went home and Tib made me a pizza. Anyway, all right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for chiming in. I'm glad you had a big trip over there. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, later, man.
51-inch pike? Are you kidding? Tim is the man.
Oh, it's ridiculous, dude.
That bait is going to be huge in Europe. Really will be.
Somebody's titan is catching a walleye. Somebody's titan is catching a hole. My dude, Josh friggin' Krieger. Way down by.
Hey, Steve, how's it going, man?
Dude, I just got off the phone. I talked to Ricky freaking Bobo Allen out of West Virginia. We just caught some fish on the Titan Jr. You are nice. One of the few dudes that has had the Titan Jr. since day one. You're my dude. Josh Krieger, if you don't know, you're the dude. Like,
thanks,
you are my man. Like, you're mini Steve. Anyway, you've been fishing the Titan Jr. on 3 legs chain. Talk about it, how devastating it's been all year for you.
Oh, dude, it's absolutely money. I absolutely love the bait. I mean,
great flamethrower, baby. It.
That is a very good color it on been, the chain. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, it should have just been Josh Krieger is the name of that color.
Well, or it could have just been like tannic water. I mean,
yeah,
anything staying that color works so well. But no, I love the dive and rise. Super, super easy to work. That mini size is perfect for the body waters that I'm fishing the majority of the time anyways. And they have essentially replaced the shallow raider for me. I used to throw those a lot, and I now kind of have guys throwing the Titan Jr.
Okay, you just said something. You actually nailed something. Love Joe, best friend in the world. But it's sort of the same thing where we go, that twitch pause, like we talk about, like wading shallow raiders.
Yep.
It's a weighted sheller without having to do anything. It just does that. It does the death pause. It hangs there. It goes, oh, I'm wounded. Eat me.
That's what I love about that bait so much. I mean, it's so easy. You can work it with just cranking the reel handle. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I kind of had clients start throwing that a little bit more, because it's just one of the easiest baits to work that I've ever seen.
That's the thing, though, dude. Muskies don't take a resume. That's a booker line. I love it. Which is like, you just made the switch, Krieger. You're on the 9-footers right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Josh, admittedly, it's fine. Like you go from 8'6" to 9-foot. It's far harder to work a dive and rise bait with a 9-foot than an 8-foot.
Oh, absolutely. Rod, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And so you don't have to do all this work. And what we've been doing when you had the prototypes on your boat, turn the handle, stop. Turn the handle, stop. Turn the handle, stop. Fish on end.
Yep.
Which is like, you can't mess that up. Now, if you're listening to a Muskie podcast, you're listening to me and Krieger, listening to me and Herbeck and other guys talking about it tonight, is flat out, if somebody can walk on a boat and they've never caught a Muskie before and they can do it by turning the handle, there's far more things you can do with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is like, absolutely. The thing that you did before I even did it, right? I knew it could do it. I designed the bait, whatever. You were fishing those outside edges before I even had the chance, because my seasonality wasn't there. You're fishing from the shallow edges out for that deep thing. What were you doing with the Titan during the protos this fall?
So in order to get them down a little deeper, I was working them a little more aggressively, kind of ripping them a little harder, and they dive further. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to give them a nice long pause. Because they don't rise super, super fast. Right. And that's one thing I love about them. They're versatile. You can work them on that deep edge like mm-hmm. that by working them a little faster and a little harder and more aggressively. But at the same time, if you are fishing over the shallow weeds, you can just crank the handle once. It'll dive a little, kind of let it rise back up to the surface. I mean, you can work them in inches of water.
Yeah, lift the rod tip high. That's the cool thing.
That works too, yeah.
There's no other diving rise you can pump the rod up. And it's not, dude, we've done it. You fish with me down here in the South. You've been working with me where it's not dissimilar, where we're the same motion you'd work a tube.
And if you don't believe, very similar.
You don't believe me, go pump reel, up. It will dive. It'll dive like a foot.
And it doesn't, the bait does not blow out of the water. That's the thing that I think amazed me the most, because
even
I know
on
that's
the, small
the
one,
toughest
dude.
Thing. That is the toughest thing with all dive and rise.
Much less one that size.
Yep.
That's why, dude, the early season, everybody keeps saying it, early season applications on this thing are goofy.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the cool thing is, Mr. Krieger spent some time here. You spent some time in the bait cave. Listen.
A little bit. A little bit.
Josh, can I say something?
Yeah.
You're Robin.
What do you mean?
You're the only person that's been in the bait cave.
Oh, okay, nice. Nice.
Your new name is Robin. I'm Bait Man. So Josh is the only person other than my wife who will be known Jeeves. What's the butler on Batman's name? Oh, shoot. Now I got to look this up. Michael Caine. That's all I can think, right?
Yep.
Batman Butler. Oh, Alfred. Oh, my goodness. I should have known that. So, Jody's Alfred and you're Robin.
Pennyworth, the butler.
Yeah. All I can think is freaking flat out, dude, is just like freaking. All you think is Michael Caine. That's it. If you don't like Christian Bale Batman, oh, come on. That's great. Can we, for a second, Josh?
Yeah.
What's the first Batman movie you ever saw?
The Dark Knight, actually.
Oh.
I know. I didn't see him in order or nothing.
But here's the problem. I grew up through that, like, Michael Keaton crap, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's fine, and then, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze, and you're like, and it's kind of, like, kiddish.
Yeah.
And the Dark Knight comes out, and that is the closest thing to Batman you ever get.
Oh, that was, I mean,
that was brilliant.
I've seen the other Batman movies since. That was the greatest Batman movie of all time, for sure.
Christian Bale.
Heath Ledger absolutely killed it as the Joker, too. Well, I mean, no pun intended there. My apologies.
Sorry.
Yeah, he did a dang good job playing the Joker in that movie.
The other night, I'm still here in West Virginia, right? My mother's been interjecting the whole podcast annoyingly, so.
Okay.
And so we watched our two favorite movies, which was Dark Knight.
Yep.
In Last of the Mohicans, right? Whole other thing.
Okay.
You know, she's got this freaking, you know, who doesn't have it for, what's that guy's name? Oh my God, I'm horrible with names today. The guy, he's in the, what's his freaking name? He's a method actor. But anyway, but The Dark Knight, it may be one of the best movies ever. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you look at, they just had the freaking Academy Awards, and they're giving all these awards to, like, everything, something, nothing, or whatever that movie is. Top Gun. Come on. Yep. The new Top Gun. Brilliant.
That was great. I was really worried about that. Like, how are you going to make a remake and make it different? They did a pretty good job.
That was badass.
Yeah, it was.
If you don't like Top Gun, get out of my America. Go back. Yeah. Go back to Soviet Russia, you commie bastard. But no, the Dark Knight is ridiculous. The other thing is this: Christian Bale, Sir Michael Caine, and Tom Hardy in one movie. Come on.
Yeah. No.
Come on. Tom Hardy is. Have you ever seen Josh? And I'm sorry. Live on the air, folks. Right. We're sitting here.
Talking movies.
Because me and you talk every time we talk muskie fishing, right, Josh? Yeah. We're like, what's the hot bite in Wisconsin, Josh? What are you doing in Tennessee? Okay, folks. Bronson with Tom Hardy. Have you ever seen this movie? Tom Hardy is Bronson. Just look up B-R-O-N-S-O-N, Bronson. So he plays like this notorious English prisoner.
Okay.
He's absolutely jacked and he's absolutely insane. And you go, how could he play Bane, right? You see him anything else? He's literally just playing the same character as Bronson, who is absolutely nuts and just kills a bunch of people in prison in England and then like stages a prison riot. So anyway, that segues handily into the application of the Titan Jr. in the spring. What do you think of the early season? The Dark Knight Dive and Rises.
Heck yeah, man.
What do you think, though? Like, early season? I know you got it in the midsummer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I am excited to test it out here early in the year. Obviously, I mean, the majority of the time, especially up here, the fish are eating small baits early in the year anyways. And again, like I said, that size is perfect for me year-round, pretty much. To begin with. But yeah, I'm super excited to throw that here, you know, like right on opening weekend, because you can work it so slow and those fish are often lethargic and in that shallow water. And I'm looking forward to just kind of slowly working that bait, kind of letting it rise just an inch below the surface and bringing it back down and continually just doing that.
And the word we always hear is death pause, death pause. It's got the death pulse, but you can throw it on musky gear.
Right, exactly.
And that's the thing of, like, your brother, right?
Yeah.
Big smallmouth fisherman, good friend of ours. Your brother? He's a good friend of mine. Your brother. Josh is like, he's a friend. But, you know, and he's always targeting smallmouth. It's like, oh, I hooked into a musky early season, but I'm on smallmouth.
All the time. Wacky worms. Right. I mean, you name it. Yeah, all the time.
And you go, it's hard to target muskies on bass gear.
But right.
The Titan Jr. is like, it's not a bass-sized bait, but it does the same thing, but it's musky strength, I think, more so than anything. So, like, some of these fish that are, like, post-spawn that are, you know, the classic thing for me, dude, it's like rattle trap crap.
Yep.
Give me a break. I don't want to throw rattle traps. Hey, man, put on that rattle trap. I just talked to Ricky Bobo Allen.
Hey, man, we're going to burn them rattle traps. Dip, 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 dip.
Give me a break. You know,
I mean, I'll throw them, but yeah, I definitely, I mean, it's not the most enjoyable thing. And yeah.
You know what the hardest part of throwing rattle traps is, Josh?
Except in the fact that you'll probably catch more bass than muskies.
Telling your parents, never mind. I won't even finish the joke. So anyway, goodness. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
With clients, with everybody on the boat, what was your general thing with the Titan during what you guys, what was your application?
So I actually had the person in the back of the boat throwing that, kind of batting cleanup with it.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought behind that was it is a bait that is better at target. I mean, obviously it catches active fish, but it will catch and move inactive fish more so than like a bucktail will.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have, you know, the client in the front of the boat throwing a bucktail, hoping to hit that hot active fish right away. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, that fish was there, but not hot and active, now that guy in the back of the boat is batting cleanup with that Titan Junior and contacting those fish that aren't quite active enough to eat bucktails.
Which is, yeah, Herbeck said it like, you know, you go bucktail bite, hot topwater, whatever it might be. And then we come into the, like the third day of something and you go, it fell apart. And he's getting them on the big Titan on Eagle where you go Three Lakes, you know, Eagle River chain, whatever it might be, Wisconsin. You go, this little guy's dynamite.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
You know, yes. It's not even fair, folks. So anyway, well, Josh, you got the big season opener 2 weeks before season opener. Josh's podcast starts as a sister podcast to the Muskie 360 podcast. On a scale of 1 to 45, how fired up are you, Josh?
Said nice solid 44.
Nice solid 44, folks.
She was sick though.
Yeah, she was sick. He was fired up there at 44. Gunter Shylock gives it 10 out of 10 stars there, folks.
Wednesday nights, that's right.
Wednesday
in the middle of May.
Folks, four out of five dinner rolls is what the Minocqua Press gave the Josh Krieger podcast. Anyway, hopefully you get the big dinner roll stars there. Anyway, Josh, I appreciate you. It's the big Titan week. Folks, if you don't know, I've said it 45 times this episode, I guarantee. This Friday, Titan Junior, check them out. Say goodnight, Josh.
Hey, have a good night, everyone. Appreciate y'all.
Later. Jay, what do you think about that, Josh Krieger, son?
Krieger knows his Titans. He knows what to do. Kid is dialed in.
Dialed in.
He's going to tighten up.
Tighten up,
son. He's going to get some.
Tighten up.
Krieger.
Tighten up.
Tighten.
Do you think it's about creaking and tweaking?
Hmm.
Creaking.
Two words come to mind.
Creaking.
Ricky Bobo.
What'd you say?
Ricky Bobo.
Don't you say that name on this podcast. Don't you dare say that name. It's forbidden.
Now there, son, you got a true live creaker. Gonna throw that Titan into West Virginia, Pennsylvania waters. Gonna bring him up, raise him from the dead. Ricky Bobo!
Ricky Bobo!
Get some!
Get some!
When you're done with your podcast, buddies, can you take out the trash?
God, I don't even live here anymore! All right, folks, I am with the man, the myth, the West by God Virginia legend, 14-time felon, Ricky Bobo. Ricky Bobo, what do you know, son?
I know we killed him down there West by God.
Good, you killing him. Boys, we've been catching them behind the ham plant in Grayson.
Let me tell you, son, every tree in West by God has a muskie behind it.
There's a muskie behind every tree.
I tell you, they're even crawling up on the bank behind that timber, son.
If you ain't quick strapped a carp, you ain't lived.
Let me tell you.
Folks, Ricky Bobo invented the West by God Virginia keel rig.
112-watt treble hook behind the head, son.
Smoke.
Let that thing...
You gotta smoke four Marlboro Reds before you set the hook. Folks.
You gotta let them swallow all the way down.
Swallow it.
Swallow all the way down, son.
It's like a lotto. You gotta be in it to win it.
How many?
Don't matter. A 22 or 52, son. She's going on the stringer.
Oh, my God. That's a...
Folks, this episode's called Creakers and Tweakers. What's the highest you ever been on meth and caught a muskie?
If you ain't zinging, you ain't living, son.
Little shake meth.
That stuff made my basement.
I'll tell you what, you shake that Gatorade bottle and you'll be itching all day.
You want my number, you call Stephen Paul and I'll get you the best shit.
Don't you dare get anyway, my God. Folks, Ricky Bobo is my good friend, Alan. Alan, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Wonderful. Listen, there's one reason they call me the king of standing timber in West Virginia. Tell them, Alan, we greased them, didn't we, my friend?
Oh, my gosh, dude. And that was a lot of standing timber. Oh, my gosh.
All the timber.
In the woods, on the water. I mean,
ridiculous.
I was not expecting that. You know, this time of year, even on shad-based lakes.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Man, you blew me out of the water with that one.
We hit a body of water, secret squirrel kind of place, and West by God! We went to West by God together. And I'll tell you, working on the secret squirrel stuff, Alan is Ricky Bobo. You may have seen him at the Muskie Shop Bash. He was about 1 inch of jeans away from a felony.
They weren't quite that short.
I've never seen a pair of coveralls cut that short. But anyway, we hit some standing timber and we smacked them. We were smacking them in the standing timber. And it was Titan Jr. Just one right after another. I mean, as far as you threw the bait pretty much the entire day, and this is the Titan Jr. episode, pardon me. Just tell them what you were seeing with that bait and how we're using to like make contact with those standing trees.
So I run, I'm a Dive and Rise fanatic. I love Dive and Rise. And I fished the regular Titan through about anything you can throw.
Mm-hmm.
The Titan Jr. just has that slow... dead rise, and I love it. I like it more than the regular one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And the only thing that you have to be careful of is make sure you change your hooks.
Yeah.
Because when you catch that many fish, you're going to wear them out. I mean, that's just what it is.
I love it. Wearing them out, boys. I'll tell you, we're behind. Folks, I don't want to burn a spot. We're behind the ham plant in Grayson.
Don't be telling people that, man.
They're
going to find my steel back there.
Dude, I'll tell you what. People are mad. They're red-assed right now. I said ham plant. They're red-assed over it. He spot-burned us at the ham plant. That's actually a real spot, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm about red-assed over it.
Don't you dare tell them about the aluminum plant, son.
I got that.
That hole holds 35-23s.
Folks,
Get back there on the mud. You'll catch more 22s than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah. Oh,
but
my
in
God.
All seriousness... the Titan Jr. is going to change the game for a lot of people who love Dive and Rise,
mm-hmm.
but live in an area where it's shad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I live in an area where it is a shad. And, you know, they don't want a big profile bait because what they're eating most of the year isn't a big, prolific bait mm-hmm. fish. They're eating 5 to 7 inch bait fish.
Right.
And to get something that has that slow rise, that dying action, and to throw it and just reel it in, and have a wander on it to go in your eight. I mean, you can't ask for much more.
We were seeing them. And the big thing was like hit the timber and you might see the flash, boom, and it doesn't hit it. But he comes to look at it, right?
Yeah.
And keep coming back. And then that like you're saying, that shimmy towards the boat.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I always had a problem configuring on eights. Like, I don't want to throw other diving rods names out there.
No,
you guys know. Yeah. You guys know who they are, though. You know what I mean?
All right.
And when you're reeling it back into the eight, it doesn't do nothing.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. But, you know, when you have a bait that does something in that another action.
Right.
To trigger another strike. And if you're good in your eight, which is key, you get that wide turn and you dive that hard into your next one, they're going to eat it. Because it's starting to act like a headlock.
Well, it's got the wonder like it. Yeah, it's got a side to side. I mean, it's not as wide as that because it's a smaller bait, but it's got the wander left to right at high speeds, and it's got enough shimmy in the figure eight to do something. That's the thing with like the biggest problem to fix with dive and rise for me was like, how do we get this thing to have any shimmy on a straight retriever in the figure eight? Right. Hence the soft tail and all that. I'm telling you,
the secret.
Yes, go right ahead.
The trolling secret.
Go right ahead. He saw it. We did it.
So playing around. If anyone's ever trolled through timber, you know how much of a mess that is.
Yeah.
You toss that thing in the prop wash, and you can watch it. Move it around the timber.
Timber.
You move around the timber, son.
Son, I'll tell you what, them muskies are in the timber.
That was in between Marlboro puffs when you said that.
I was hitting my heater.
That lake looked like there was more dart butts on than water.
Folks, go over there. You're going to look for the Clorox jug and all the dart butts over there.
That's how I find holes on the sandy, by the way.
Sandy. You know where the eddies are, son.
Look for all the Marlboro butts. You'll know where the slack water be.
When I went to Wisconsin, they didn't know what to think.
there wasn't a single Clorox jug in the state.
I had to add the Marlboro butts to the water for him.
You flick it and see where it goes and find the muskie.
That's how when I'm archery hunting, I check the wind. I flick my Marlboro up there and see where it goes.
Where'd that go? Southwest.
You know what Smokey says? Only you can cause a forest fire.
Only you can.
Folks, I'll tell you what, when you find you a Clorox bottle, that's called a hot hole.
I'll tell you what.
There's four flatheads on that Clorox bottle, son.
Biggest muskies in West Virginia in Bumsville. Up there on Bumsville.
Sorry, I've been in West Virginia too long. This is getting old. I need to go back to Tennessee because I'm here.
We're fishing Bumsville. Up there, we're going to hit that. We're going to hit the Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Paul.
Let me ask you this, right? You know the breath mint certs?
Yeah.
Right. I had an epiphany because I ran into a local here today. I'm a local, believe it or not, right? And Alan, we drove through more dishwashers in front yards and prosthetic limbs, you know.
Over trees.
Trees. Really? Dead dogs. Just Mountain Dew bottles in front yards. And I'm talking, this was just one yard. And it was every yard, right? You know, it's a good homestead when there's insulation coming out of the roof, visible insulation.
I saw Uncle Bob.
You know, Uncle Bob's out there. And I realized it hit me. I had an epiphany, right? That it's not yes, sir. It's yes, cert, like the mint.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
With a, yes, sir. You guys catching them muskies out there? We got to the ramp. This guy stops us, right? Me and Al, it's freezing cold, right? He goes, you catch him fish? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then he goes, why didn't you take them home? Like, we're idiots. It's like, you're just supposed to, oh, yeah, we got a couple 40s. Let's drag them home. Yes, sir. Them good old eating muskies.
They got the eating size 52 to 25.
West Virginia slot limit 52 to 25. Cook that over your shake meth. It's a good nut.
God, I like them out of that dirty, dirty water.
I can taste the mud when they're out of the mud. So,
give me that bleach to dip them in, son.
You can taste
name the, brand.
When you eat them out of the canal, you can taste the, you can taste the, I'm sorry, you can taste the plant. I like if you got every, this is why I don't talk southern muskies on this show. Like, you get on the Kanawha River and you're fishing behind like the most heinous stuff on earth. Like, there was a DuPont plant that blew up in India and killed like 100,000 people, and the same plants on the Kanawha River.
How many rivers on the Ohio, or how many plants on the Ohio just dump random things into the river at all times?
Dude, all of them. It's just like, you know, oh, them muskies. You hear about hot holes, like warm water discharges. From, yeah. It's like them muskies are in that bleach discharge. It's a human cesspool, folks. It's lovely. You get there and
catch them out the canal. They got four eyeballs.
Three anal fins.
It's like there's four hillbillies that listen to this. They know what podcasts are, right?
Yeah.
I sit here in the holler. I got the good cell reception on Alltel to hear that podcast.
I gotta get the dial up ready to listen into the podcast.
I gotta get that HughesNet going, boys. Hear that podcast. What are they talking about this week?
Fuck, oh God. The rest of everybody that listens to the show is not laughing. Me and you are dying because it's so true.
Yeah, and nobody knows, man. Yeah,
if you're a creaker and a tweaker, you know, by God, from Buck Cannon to Beckley, by God. And all points in between, we're all creakers.
Wheeling to West Union.
Creakers, wheeling to West Union, Buck Cannon to Beckley. Welcome to the Creakers and Tweakers podcast. Folks, this week we're talking, is it a 16-foot John or a 17-foot John?
First question, can I run a 9-6 rod out of my 10-foot John? How do you store it? Thank you for the info.
Long time listener, first time podcast writer. What rod would you recommend for my wife? She's 386 pounds and can't stand up on her own. She's on SSI disability and fishes from the nose of the boat. Thank you.
I got a rear trolling motor that I can't keep in the water. She's too heavy in the front. How do I move?
How do you, what's boat control when your wife comes in a stout 334?
It doesn't matter what cinder block I use from the yard sale, or do I have to buy one from Home Depot? Thanks in advance.
Thanks in advance.
Usually I fish when I got off work. Are muskies prone to turning off from high-vis clothes?
Work? What the hell's work, what son? What the hell's work? Does my smell of cooking meth affect the muskie? Thanks for the info.
Thanks for the info.
Folks, this podcast brought to you by Dunlap and Dunlap SSI Attorneys at Law. If you ain't getting a check, get in a wreck.
Oh, my God.
What kind of darts you smoke on the boat?
I can only afford them camels, son.
Sound Eagle 20s.
Pyramid longs. Can I get the pyramid longs?
I've been quick striking Farley's hot dog. Should I choose to?
I can't even say. You want to talk about a secret hole? You ready for this? You can get free cigarettes if you dig them out of the ashtray and wheel in at the casino. Free cigarettes as much as you want. Just bring a box for the butts you're picking out.
We come shorties, get a bird. All the rich folk betting on the ponies.
I've only got HIV twice from it. It's all right.
It's okay. It's Magic Johnson Security. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, folks, but it's the Titan Podcast, and I can do what I want. It's my birthday, and I can cry if I want to. Anyway, so Ricky Bobo, of all things, it's actually Alan. Alan is running some trips. Talk to me. What's going on, buddy?
Well, yeah, we're getting good in Ohio.
Yeah.
We got that pre-frontal this last week, and it's been good. The the spawn's coming up here in middle of April, so up until spawn, you're gonna have your chance at the largest fish of the year.
Nice.
There are some absolute hogs coming out of some of these lakes and rivers. I mean, absolute swamp donkeys.
Swamp donkeys, he says.
And you know, I got some openings, you know, so it's getting to that time of year, man, where you're gonna. It's trophy season.
Well, what's the email?
ALANCHESS 6444 at gmail.com.
That's Ricky Bobo 69420 at HughesNet.com.
Anyway, it's late in the season. What's the phone number to get a hold of you, Rick?
Ricky freaking Bobo.
You want to fish with Ricky Bobo, you're going to have to get hold of me through the dial-up numbers.
Sorry. Folks, I apologize. I just don't care this week.
Dude, it's 814-853-9931.
There you go. He's got you're rocking top-of-the-line gear. Top of the line boat, top of the line angler. I fished with him a bunch of times. This guy is a freaking animal, funnier than hell. That's the best thing. I can prompt. You might not catch fish. You might catch a STD on Ricky Bobo's boat.
Make sure you're up on your tetanus shot.
Make sure you're up. But listen, if you're coming out on my boat, you got to have the same shots as when you go to Thailand.
You got that peanut butter shot, boy.
Oh, you got that. Oh, my God, dude. This is the most worthless people are like, I'm at work and I just wanted to learn about musky fishing, and these two idiots are talking about West Virginia.
I'm out here. I'm gonna bump me 1322s out to mud. Rick, gotta get it high on that lunge log with them 122s.
22 shorties to get at the wheeling casino.
Freaking, you know how many fish I caught out the mud. Going up there to Bumsville, Stone Cold.
In all seriousness, for a moment.
No more seriousness. It's a word. This should just be the podcast. Two idiots make fun of West Virginia continuously.
West Virginia and Kentucky. Kentucky's about as West Virginia now.
Pretty filthy.
I've been in some hollers in Kentucky and been scared, son. Oh.
Down in Tennessee, we say holler in a swaller, right? Which is you scream and you take a drink. West Virginia is holler and some squalor. But in all seriousness, what do you say?
If you're looking for big fish,
Titan
fish
Junior.
In West Virginia. Titan, yep. Junior, number one. But I fish West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Yeah.
And there are some donkeys in every state. And Pennsylvania is one of the most underrated musky fisheries, in my opinion, in the United States.
Well, a lot, the thing with Pennsylvania, a lot of people think is just cruddy.
Yeah, and there's lakes and, like, there's lakes that are on the map that people look at and they're like, that doesn't look like anything. It's a little farm pond in the middle of nowhere that holds 48s.
Right. We did. We fished a for lack of a better term, part of my French, a piss puddle.
Yeah. We saw some donkeys.
Donkey Kong.
Anyway. Saw some absolute donkeys.
Guys,
but
I'll tell you, it's a rarity that you're going to hear me say, go with this guy. If you're up in that neck of the woods, you want to learn how to musky fish, get a hold of Ricky Bobo. His real name's Alan, but he'll probably take care of you better if you say, Ricky freaking Bobo, I want to go musky fish. I'm going to ruin your life with Ricky Bobo. Anyway, quick, we talked about in the boat. I'm not trying to pry. You brought it up.
You're good.
That early season application of that Titan Junior up in the shallows.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't beat it because of the hang time. Like, you can get the big one to do that. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But you can't get the big one to shrink automatically.
Yeah.
You know, and that size profile from Wisconsin to Tennessee to West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and everywhere in between. Canada.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a bait that small that runs that good is the problem. And running dive and rise is a finite thing. I mean, everyone knows the baits with the tails.
Right.
You know, you can't get them to do what you want when they're that small. A little rock hit with the tail, it throws the whole bait off. You're spending 10 minutes retuning. No tuning with this.
Not to jump in, but what we were doing a lot of, and you saw it, I showed you before we went out the dock, right? Throw it shallow, right? Pull the rod up when we're shallow.
Yeah.
Upwards. The Titan dives. Both of them, big one, the small one, no matter how you work the rod, it's going to dive. And so we're taking that shallow and throwing it at the shallow timber, up, 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 first four or five pumps, and then switch into that downward motion because you can keep it shallow. And Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you can keep it shallow, but then let's say you got treetops that are down in the middle. Let's say they come through and cut them like, you know, a nice way, and they're mm-hmm. down. You have the trees sticking up and then the tops are down in. You can cast that out and feel your way through, and it comes through the trees really nice. So you can feel everything.
So I'm laughing, dude. That one end of that lake.
Yes.
Is that the most, honest to God, is that the most laydowns on any lake on planet Earth?
I don't know. Like, I fished all over West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, and I've never ever seen
more.
It's the gnarliest stuff, and we could take those baits and just throw it into the nastiest like, for the people listening, imagine just an oak tree just sitting in the water, limbs going absolute everywhere,
and hundreds
and throwing
of them.
Your bait, yeah, and thousands, not hundreds, thousands,
yeah. They just flooded the end of that lake, dude,
and just throwing your bait into the heart of the nastiest stuff. Like, well, I'm going to hope it goes through this because it's expensive if I don't.
Bang. Let it come off of it. Bang. Yep. Let it come off of it. Bang. Oh, there's one.
Yeah. I would not recommend a headlock trolling pass through there, but
we were talking about headlock. Dude, there's not enough meth in the world before you're like, let's do a 4.4. Actually, the joke in the boat, we're like, dude, how much PCP do you have to do before you water ski through this? Because there's literally, like, if you can imagine, like, when they would impale someone on a pike, right? They would just, there's just treetops everywhere you look. It's like, if you're water skied through this, you would just die.
And it didn't help. We had probably a 25 mile an hour wind. Your poor Ultrax.
I hit
your trolling motor. every tree.
I hit every tree in the lake, folks. It was, I was just telling him, like, hold on, we're about to hit one. Boom. We played that lake, and maybe somebody knows it, not many.
Right. You can't get to it.
No, you can't get to it. Unless you can drive a 20-foot boat over a mountain on a dirt road backwards, thank you very much. But out there in meth country, America. But
I lost service 30 minutes before I got there.
We literally this leg, you have no service at all. But we literally played pinball through this lake because it's all treetops. And it wasn't a matter of, in a perfect world, to be honest with you, we talked about, we'd like, in the dense timber and the dense stands, you would want to throw rubber to get down to the seasonality.
Yeah.
But it just not in the, it's not in the cards where you go, okay, Titan Junior, we can get through it and it'll hang. And they're coming up. You can see them on Panoff. You'd hit the timber. He had to move up 6 or 7 feet to come get it. And you're just watching it like, please eat it, please eat it, please eat it, please eat it. Boom. So,
and the beautiful thing is it hangs there.
Yeah.
It allows them to work their way through that timber because the ambush point on that's kind of mute when they're working through all that gnarly, just nasty stuff.
And we,
it gives them time to get out of there and get it still.
We talked about that. It's not dissimilar from really, really thick weeds where you go, is it so much of a jungle? You know, how do they find it? It's a game of proximity. It's a visual game, I think, more. In thick cover, it's more of a visual game than it is a vibrational game because everything sort of mutes vibration, right?
Yep.
Anything subsurface is breaking up vibration, but, man, Ricky Bobo, it's unbelievable. Alan Chess, he's an unbelievable musky fisherman. Me and Josh Krieger swear by him. He is the dude on the East Coast, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. If you're serious about it, this is the guy you need to fish with. He's got the Steve Paul stamp of approval, the Josh Krieger stamp of approval. He is the man. Give him a shout one more time with the phone number.
814-853-9931. And my website's on the way.
On the website's on the way.
Oh, Ricky Bobo isn't the best with the technology.
I'm just telling you. I just found out about that Sega Saturn. Folks, email.
I use that Firefox. It works the best out there.
Email me at Sega Saturn.
Dude, what if you're like my Xbox handle? This teabagger 45.
Xbox handle. My mom's pretty cute.
Folks, it's mine and yours favorite dunkle from West Virginia. Anyway, Ricky, that was amazing. Thank you so much. And like I said, if you got any Titan Junior questions, he's the man. If you want to get on a big old West Virginia, Pennsylvania, or higher muskie, he's the dude to call. Say goodnight, yes, Ricky sir. Bobo. Yes, sir.
Yay!
What do you think, Jay? Freaking Ricky Bobo.
Ricky Bobo in the house? Creaking?
Creaking, tweaking, son.
Throwing them Titans.
Woo!
But, what a character.
You know, they tweak in a different way in Wisconsin, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's like the mint, right? You heard that, Bobo, and we talk about yes, sir. So anyway, Brian's been filming up there. It's been pretty ridiculous. So we've got some footage from him coming here shortly. Jay, here it goes. All right, guys, I've got Brian Williams. Brian has been filming. Now, he's got some stuff going on, and he has been filming some amazing content for Livingston Lures. Some of you have seen it on Instagram, you know, whether you've seen it on Livingston or whatever. He's got some killer stuff going on. We sent him, the folks at Livingston sent Brian some custom paint action. Me and my wife did them here at the house, some Titan Juniors. I'm just going to shut up. Brian, what happened with those things? Because it was nutty.
Well, I was completely surprised. Well, I shouldn't say surprised because we all know Livingston's catch fish. But right. When I saw the Titan Junior, I immediately knew that there was, you know, a multi-fish or multi-species application that could come from this bait. And long story short of it, I figured fall walleyes would be a perfect sample to see if we could get some multi-species content. We all know that walleyes are voracious feeders, but they also can be extremely picky when it comes to eating. So a bait that a walleye hits tends to be my sign of a good bait if you can get walleyes to continuously hit over and over and over. And I was shocked that on the lake that I live in southern Wisconsin, I found a semi-deep 13 to 14-foot weed bed adjacent to a shallow water flat and threw that Livingston out there a couple times. And I believe it was on my fifth cast, and I did two jerks, long pause. And when I went to do that third round of jerks, lo and behold, there was a big old thump at the end of the line, and the first fish was a 26-and-a-half-inch walleye.
That'll do.
And then,
yeah.
Yep. And then throughout the remainder of that afternoon, which wasn't necessarily that long of fishing. I think it was only, you know, 2 or 3 hours. It continued to boat walleye after walleye, mixed in with also a big 6-pound largemouth. You know, multiple pike were in it as well. And the sheer design, we all know a dive and rise bait is one of the best, you know, trigger responses mm-hmm. that we can ever get on a lure. And where the Livingston Titan Jr., in my opinion, where it really excelled was where it came out. It's the size, it's the body, it's the action, and it suspends so well. And you let that bait suspend, and you get that perfect timing where that bait suspends, and it's in between right when that EBS sound clicks, right? Right yeah. when it's at that suspend, it was just a fish triggering machine. And so at first I thought it might have been a fluke. All these walleyes, granted it was fall and it was an inland right. lake and there wasn't that much pressure because, you know, it's just I was the only boat on the water at this time because it was cold in Wisconsin at this point. But then we took it up into De Pere and we tried it in the Fox River. And again, one after another, fishing into the shallows, pump, pump, pause, pump, pump, pause. Yep. And then we started to pick up those big 24s, 25s, 26s. The biggest one that we've landed on thus far is just under 30 inches. But then you look at the smallest one that we've landed on, and it's like 17. So if you get a bait that's catching 17-inch walleyes and 30-inch walleyes, and it can catch everything else in between, multi-species, and a muskie, and a pike, and a largemouth, and a smallmouth, it's like you pretty much got your one-stop shop. And the way I like to say it was, it's the perfect search and destroy bait for people in, you know, the Midwest, where you're fishing these lakes that have everything from crappie to both strands of esox mm-hmm. and everything in between. You know, you get yourself a good rod, you know, medium heavy rod out there, and you just have a Livingston Titan tied on. You start throwing that out, you never know what you're going to get, but majority of the time it's going to be a big fish.
Yeah, it's so amazing because, you know, you're a multi-species angler. It's not like you're just targeting muskie or just targeting walleye. You want to put big fish in the boat, and that's such a phenomenal thing. Of some of the smallmouth I've seen you catch on this thing, which is you're one of the very few that had one, right?
I know I was honored to get it. Yeah. I mean, I got them when they were still hand painted. They weren't yeah. factory painted or anything along those lines. I believe when I took mine out of the box, when I picked it up, my finger still had paint on it because it was so fresh.
right out of my garage, my friend. So,
yeah. And you know, that both colors, I initially started off with just like, you know, jet black, which mm-hmm. you never have too many dark black baits, yep. right? We all know, especially for fishing at night or mm-hmm. the application on full moon black bait, right? Which we tried, right. and that's how we caught a lot of the walleyes on the Fox. Was yep. full moon night, you know, black bait, you know, long pauses. But yeah, both the color schemes that I had knocked it out of the park immediately. And, you know, there, I mean, it, like I said earlier, you find a bait that's in that size category that you can fish, you can really pump it to get it down deep to get it, or you can work it slow to keep it up high and suspended. And those long pauses with the EBS technology mixed in with a short snap afterwards, I mean, you show me a fish that's going to pass that up, but I'm going to show you a fish that really isn't that hungry.
I love it. That's so true. Because the simplicity of it, you know, because you're going to pump, pump, which is almost like a glide bait thing. Pop, pop, stop. Pop, pop, stop. You don't have to necessarily.
100%.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to do the old school Suic Mega Rip with this thing, with the small guy.
No, it's like a finesse version of like a Suic, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, literally, you can use it. And the great thing about it, it's small enough that, like, for example, you know, Midwest fishing, let's say, it's like we all know when the muskie opener happens that yeah. muskies are looking for morsels. They're not looking for mouthfuls, right?
Right.
That's why people are catching them on husky jerks and P10s and stuff like
Dude,
that.
Dude, you just said the thing. I've fished them for a million years, the husky jerks, and I get so sick of throwing bass baits. And the Titan Jr. sort of came from that. Like, give it the death pulse that just doesn't stop.
Pop, exactly. Pop. And
here's the death pulse.
And after that long pause, yeah. you know, boom. It sounds like a broken record, that right. long pause. But then the one thing this has is that EBS technology,
right.
which is just one more thing to trigger a stubborn fish to bite. But it's the type of lure that you can take out in early spring, right? And mm-hmm. you can fish it all the way up through fall. And you can, like I said, you know, when you're catching 5 or 6 pound largemouth and 28 to 29 inch walleyes and 40 inch pike, you know, all mm-hmm. in the same lure. It's a tool to add to the arsenal, in my yeah. opinion, that especially, you know, I mean, I know the muskie shop's got them soon, I believe, if they don't yep. already have
them. This Friday, baby.
And that is the type of bait, in my opinion, that, you know, and it's great because you don't, like I said, it's like you sometimes you don't want to throw a real big heavy lure, big heavy equipment. Like, you can throw this out there on a bass, medium heavy, you know, 7'6" rod with a low profile bait caster with 40 to 50 pound braid. And, you know, you're still, if you set into a big fish, it's got the good hooks. It's got everything. It's built like a brick shit house, pardon my French. But, no, you know, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And it's the perfect lure to this year, you know, and it's very biased, but because obviously I love all my Livingston lures, that will be, I have my starting lineup of rods and lures that are always tied on no matter where I'm going, because it's all, I'll always take a couple casts with it. And the Titan Junior now is officially made its way to the starting lineup for myself and 414 Outdoors.
Absolutely. So, man, that's all, I can't ask for any more, but it's true. That's the thing. I've been getting pictures from you for so long. So, anyway, dude, thank you so much. Now, folks, stay tuned. You're going to hear some very cool stuff coming out here shortly. Can you tease it all? Can you tease me just
a smidge? We'll just say that, you know, Livingston, along with some of my other sponsors, are going to be gracing, you know, your televisions at home through. We'll like give it a little teaser of, you know, one of the major streaming sites that you probably already have on your TV, and it's going to be a really great full-length feature
Laca
of fishing from, you know, everything from all throughout the Midwest, from, you know, crappies to Esox and everything in between.
What more do you want? Thank you so much, Brian. I'll have you on when that major announcement comes out. You guys are going to hear it first here at Muskie 360. Bye, my dude. Again, I can't, because I couldn't catch a walleye. If you put a gun to my head, right, you're like, catch a walleye. Couldn't do it. So you were
well,
by
the
proof
thing
of the pudding.
Is, it's, you know, and you see it, and it seems, it's, and it's like, it's not intimidating, because, you know, the go-to walleye bait that's in the mecca for everyone is the P10 or the Husky Jerk, right? It's the same size platform as that. It's got the same central dynamic.
Uh-huh.
You can fish it slow, you can fish it fast, and it's like I said, you know, no other bait when you pause is actually talking to the fish.
Right.
And I think we all saw how the original Titan, how that was such an amazing rollout. And I believe it was like the fastest lure ever sell out at Muskie Shop. I could be wrong, but I know it's up there.
Let me just toot the horn. The most bait sold of any single lure in 1 year. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So now you mix that in where you have the smaller version, the Titan Junior, and I mean, and it's the perfect
thing. It's accessible.
Thing. Even in fall, I mean, spring to fall, I mean, you got the big one tied on, you got the big mama, but then you also got the baby tied on with the Junior, and, you know, between those two baits, you're going to find a fish that's going to eat, and, you know, what's not to like about throwing out a search and destroy bait and really not knowing what's going to hit, especially in areas around me in northern Wisconsin, where, you know, you have so many different potentials for so many great fish. And it's going to be a great smallie bait in spring and fall. It's going to be a phenomenal one.
It's so on... just tasked with what you're saying, because I hate to, it's funny because people in the podcast will hear me, I'll mention the bait and I just don't go there, right? Because you feel like you're self-aggrandizing, right? And it was to solve a problem guiding for me. The big Titan was like, teaching someone to fish dive and rise is impossible. You can throw it out, turn the handle, catch fish, right?
100%. I mean, you got to remember, it's initially, and I'm not just wholeheartedly compared to the Suic, right, but the Suic was initially, when it came out, they were saying it was just as good trolling as it was with the dive and rise.
Right. It was.
So
it,
that
it's
style
six foot
of
rods,
action.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so, I mean, you can burn and turn. I caught a bass. I caught a 4 pound largemouth. I pitched into some late weeds. It was all snagged up a little bit because I dove down a little too deep. So I gave one big crank out. I still felt like I had weeds on it. So I just was cashing it, rolling it back to the boat. And about, you know, six or seven turns with a really fast gear ratio baitcaster, all of a sudden the rod snaps. And what wasn't, it was another 4 or 5 pound largemouth. Mm-hmm. So that just goes to show you, just swimming the dang thing can still trigger strikes. So it's
absolutely,
like, that's why I said it's like a search and destroy. It's the perfect size, you know, big fish are going to eat it, medium-sized fish are going to eat it. I can't wait to find the crappie that's going to eat it. You know, it's going to be great.
That's going to be 14 inches plus, but send the pics. Thank you so much, Brian. When this stuff comes out and he's got some big stuff in the work where you guys are going to hear from it immediately, thank you so much, my friend. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Titan Junior rules. Buy a few in every color. Two. Titan Junior rules.
Hey, Steven, I know you're Mr. Big Musky Guide, but do you want some cocoa?
Yes, please. Jaybird, what do you think, buddy? Titan Junior.
Titan Junior, tighten up. I mean, if you're not thoroughly excited about this new bait at this point, check your pulse, right? That's come on.
You don't hear from me.
Friday morning.
What time?
March 17th.
March 17th. Early birds.
Wake 8 a.m. Be there, be square. Get them, they're going to go fast.
That's what I'd say. I mean, here's the thing. I was laid back, everybody. I'm just playing guitar, just sitting here. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? What you want? What you want? Watch a walk.
Get some.
Get some.
Titan.
Dude, it's going to be good. I mean, I'm really excited about it. I've been goofy all night. I'm just sitting here, me and my Martin. Me and my Shorten. But I know that bait's killer. I worked my guts out on it. I didn't want to say it. These boys said it. Tighten up, son. What do you think, Jay? Tighten up?
Get some.
Get some. Tighten up. Say goodnight, Jay Bird. Good night.
Night, guys. Thank
later.
You.